Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 105-106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. Brian Callahan is about to address the media. I believe he is at the podium, and we go to him now.
Statement, as far as attendance, everyone should be here. There's no, we should be at full tilt today. There'll be some guys that are held for various reasons from full participation. There'll be some guys that have some work on the side, some limited participation, but everybody's here, and we're ready to roll. So I'll let you guys go ahead.
Anything, I guess, that you want to see improve from maybe OTAs that you need to in the offseason on a positive note on?
Yeah, I think we're always, every day, you're trying to get better at something. There's always points of emphasis. I think we've had a good offseason program thus far. This is a little bit, how do we finish it on a high note for us, kind of in all three phases, getting ready for when it starts and starts for real here in the end of July. So sort of last tune-up. Structure of the day is still pretty similar to an OTA day for us. We have one more team period today. We're allowed a little bit more time on the field, so we'll take advantage of that. And then we're allowed to meet after practice. So that's really the only difference between the mini camp and the OTAs, but it is the last tune-up, you know, before we break for the summer and head ourselves into the real thing in training camp. So plenty of things to improve on for sure.
We talked to you was before Cam had the third down day, which you said was kind of going to be a big day for him, but looked a little bit bumpier maybe than we'd seen him previous possibly. Just wanted to get your thoughts, your
feedback. Yeah, I thought it was a good day for him, and a good day doesn't necessarily mean a, you know, high level performance, but it was a good day for him as a young player to see all the things that are coming at him. He did some really good things, and there was some cool stuff that he learned from that he maybe hadn't encountered before. You know, first time out going against a blitz heavy attack like our defense is, and presents a lot of problems, a lot of things you have to manage from the quarterback position, a lot of things maybe for the first time he's done. So that was really good to see. Plenty of things to coach off of on the tape. He understands things pretty quickly as far as, you know, what the looks are and what our answers are. He's done a nice job of catching up to those things. But really good first day. And the red zone's the other area, too, where, you know, things happen a lot faster. The windows are tighter. The recognition happens quicker. The throws have to be on point. And so there's been really good learning down in the red zone, too. So excited about all that process. There's, you know, something every day for him, which is you know, a lot of our young players too. It's been good to work through all that stuff.
He's pretty essential in the middle of the field. Is that a fair assessment that he's particularly good at this stage in the middle?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. He's got a great feel for underneath coverage and underneath space. Understands where the landmarks are, understands the timing of those throws. It's a strength of his for sure at this point. And it's something we're going to keep working to highlight, and then we'll keep working to fill in where we think he can keep improving. So middle of the field is certainly something he's comfortable with and done a lot of, and that's translated so far to this level in practice.
For the guys who are in year two of your system, you know, some of them have talked about being able to go deeper into the playbook with their understanding and all. How valuable is that, and also how much changes year over year when you go back and reassess?
That's a good question. There's a lot of layers to that. Probably the easiest answer is that the first year, guys are focusing a lot on what to do. You know, they're trying to learn new terminology, how we want routes run, how the process, what they have to do. The second year is a little bit more about how to do it. The different techniques. They're worried less about what words mean because they know. They're worried less about what the language is because they've been through it. And now it's a lot more about, you know, the details within all of that. You know, it's probably their, if you count the times through the, not counting the season, just installation wise, you know, they've been through the installation quite a few times. So everything is, the newness of it is gone. And now it's about how do we refine the details of what we're asking. You know, from a route technique standpoint, from a coverage recognition standpoint, those are all really important aspects, and it's just part of building. You know, when you're doing something new, that first step is you're just trying to get it all under your grasp, and then as you improve at it, you're trying to find out how you can do a better job within the framework of the system. So that's probably the easiest way to explain kind of year one versus year two for our guys. And then as we evolve and adapt, you know, we study around the league every year. You see, you know, teams running some things, maybe different ways, different formations, different personnel groups. How do we best add things that fit us? And then, you know, as you study some of the college game too, as you go across the league and you get ready for the draft, you're watching all these college guys and college offenses, and they do some cool stuff too, and you figure out where that can fit. And then for us, though, the main thing is refining what we do and doing it better at the end of the day. But we're always looking to tweak and add where we can tweak. But the best teams I've been on offensively are able to have a core, something that the things they're good at, and then find ways to dress them up. So you're doing a lot of the same things, but it looks different to the defense is sort of the general idea.
Development for you, the rookie pass catchers. Like, what are you looking for in this phase that tells you any of these guys are getting better?
The speed at which they play, how quickly they can recognize things, you know, from coverage and leverage. You know, how quickly do they pick up on some of the nuance that's required at this level with receivers? You know, there's a lot of things that's on their plate. They have to be able to see a lot, and every day they come out, there's something new comes up for them. And I think the biggest thing is not repeating whatever mistake they made initially and continuing to move forward. And again, the faster they start to play, the more comfortable you can assume they're getting. It's funny, sometimes you can almost see guys think when they're playing. And the idea for the receivers is that you don't want them thinking, you want them rolling, playing as fast as possible, and that just comes with reps.
As you move into mini camp, how do the reps at quarterback change, and how have the guys handled the opportunities that they've gotten?
Yeah, I've been pleased with how they've handled the whole operation. And again, I this isn't lip service at all. Like, Will's done a really nice job over the course of the offseason. He's handled it very professionally. He's competed. Cam's done the same, you know, and then Brandon and Tim have done the same things as well. They've all had opportunities. They made the most of those opportunities. I think all of them have. It's been a good spring, I think, for the quarterbacks in general. That part I feel good about. I'm confident with where they're at. You know, Cam's still taking probably more of the reps because he's got more development to go. He's got more things he's got to get exposed to as a young player. But they're all getting opportunities, and I think the takeaway is that they've all made the most of those chances they've had, and it's been a good process this spring.
How much have you noticed Cam being able to maximize when he's not out there, like getting those mental reps, and like he'll see something that happened and not repeating that mistake that he saw?
That's really an important part of playing quarterback, is, you know, you do have to be able to take coaching from, you know, when you're coaching one player, you're coaching the whole position. And there is some benefit to being able to see things when you're not in the heat of it. You need both things. You need to be in the heat to feel it and understand it. But there's a time and a place where watching somebody else do it sometimes makes the picture clearer. Maybe it's something that's muddy or you don't quite see when you're doing it. So that's what's the good part about having guys like Tim and Brandon and Will, is guys that have all been through it and done it. He can at least watch some of that as well. So there's benefit to that too, of both perspectives of sitting back and watching, and then the act of doing, which, you know, generally speaking, you're gonna learn the most by doing and making a mistake and learning from that mistake. But there is a time and place where you have to be able to, you know, take the coaching from the other guys and see something they've gone through and be able to still bank that rep, because it all counts. And the guys that are paying attention and do it the right way, you can still get a lot better by seeing other guys do it.
Of Jermaine Pratt, and would he be a guy that potentially could interest you guys?
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, good players are available, you do your due diligence. You know, it always takes two sides to make something happen. There's got to be interest on both sides. But we're certainly not at the point where we would ever turn our nose up at a player that's available. We'll do our research. We'll do our due diligence. Whether that materializes or not, who knows? But we're always going to look into those guys. And especially, you know, as we get into training camp with the top waiver claim, that's something else that's going to come up a lot too, is just we owe it to our team. Our front office does a great job with it of sort of always mining whatever's available to see if we can improve our team somewhere. I'll come back and finish.
I was just
going to
say, yeah, what do you recollect about that?
Yeah, I mean, Jermaine was a key piece of our defenses in those runs that when I was there in Cincinnati. Leader, good player, productive player. You know, he's kind of responsible for some pretty memorable moments for those teams in those couple of years. And, you know, I was with him from the time he was drafted till I left, so I got a good knowledge of the person. They're certainly, you know, the type of guy you'd want to be around.
Those lines, you've talked about how it's just difficult with the linebackers to evaluate until the pads come on. Mm-hmm. What would you say the level of patience is with the young guys you have, trying to see who can step up there, and then what's the level of buy-in to the group that you have? Maybe confidence is the right word, that you have, that somebody will emerge.
Yeah, excited about what those guys have done. They've really grown. You know, Cedric and James have grown. You know, adding you know, Orgy and the guys that we've kind of supplemented veteran-wise have really shown up for us. You know, it's hard to evaluate linebackers without pads, as you said. But being in the right spot, reading the right keys, being in the right place in the pass game, all that stuff you can see parts of. And those guys have made some jumps. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they look like in training camp. There's, you know, we're counting on those guys. We're counting on them to step up. And all of them, you know, at the end of the day, it could have a chance to play some significant snaps for us. So feel good about where we're at. A lot still to be uncovered and competed for. But pleased with that process so far. And, again, if it's, you know, we are confident in where they're at and we're counting on them, but we're not there yet.
From a payroll standpoint, flexibility that if this team were to see somebody out there, you know, June 1st has come, so there's been a lot of guys that have been released. Does this team have the payroll flexibility to add on a big salary or a medium-sized salary?
I think we got good flexibility. I think our cap's healthy, which I think at the end of the day, you know, from a financial perspective, you always want to at least have the flexibility to do those types of things if they come up. We've done a really good job, I think, of managing that over the last, at least since I've been here for 2 years, of being able to be in position if something does come up that makes sense, of being able to do it. Again, doesn't mean we're going to. You know, I think Mike and those guys in the front office are pretty disciplined in their approach on how they're going to go about those types of players. But I think we have the flexibility to add players where needed from now until, you know, whenever that end point comes for us. The trade deadline, I think, is probably the last point. But, yeah, they're going to do their due diligence on anybody that comes available between now and the end of training camp for sure, again, with the waiver claim as well. But we have the flexibility to do what we would need to do.
About building from the bottom up, mm-hmm. Do you have to look at it that way to a degree because there's so many more players available? I mean, you've got a huge undrafted rookie free agent class, and you only got one first-round pick. Is that kind
of – Yeah, I think the good teams in this league do a really nice job of of finding ways to fill in their roster depth and trusting that they can find young players, college free agents, late round picks, guys that can step in and contribute. And that's, you know, when you look at the teams, you know, everybody's got their superstars, you know, but the teams that really play well at the end of the year are the teams that rely on their depth, because inevitably you're always going to have injuries. There's always going to be people that need to step up and play a game or two or four. And so those are the guys that end up doing it. You know, those are your working class on your football team, and you got to have enough of those guys that can perform when called upon. And so the depth is important. You rely on it over the course of the season, and you coach those guys just the same, and you're coaching them for that moment that we're going to need them. And we're going to need all the guys that end up making our 53, and whoever makes our practice squad, they're all going to have a chance to contribute, and we need those guys. I feel good about where we're at. There's a lot still to be played out. But we got some young players that are about the right stuff and have shown some good things so far. And again, we'll get more into the weeds when the pads come on. But feel good about that process of where we're at. And again, we're still looking to, you know, add players where we can and improve our football team from the outside, if that's what it is too.
You anticipate, I guess, throwing Jeff right back into the mix. And is there anybody that you maybe held back a little bit through OTAs that maybe do a little bit in mid camp?
We'll be mindful with Jeff. You know, this would be his first team activity. So, you know, just be smart, but he'll be out there participating. Zeitler will probably do a little bit more today than you guys have seen. Whether that means a bunch of team reps or not, we'll see. But we'll just be smart with those guys. Lockett is in the same boat. Those guys that have just played a lot of football, trying to get them as healthy as possible and feeling as good as possible by the time we get to the season. So we'll manage that a bit, but those guys should be out there a little more than maybe you guys have seen in the last couple of weeks. McCreary's coming back. He'll be participating as well. Again, same stuff. Things come up. You know, guys get rest, and we manage injuries that pop up in the offseason. Nothing major, but he's been working back in 7-on-7, and he should have some team reps today as well. Probably not this week. No.
Do you feel the need to add another veteran in that room with Snead kind of being up in the air?
I think, again, that's a position that we, you know, if the right guys are available and we can add them, we'll look to add them. You know, I think you can never have enough corners because inevitably that's where injuries occur, especially during training camp. On top of it, you just the more corners you can have, the better. So there's certainly our eyes are always to the wire, trying to see what's available and who might fit.
How much do you feel like you can rely on Snead given the injuries and the off-the-field issues?
I think everything that he's shown us when he's here has been fantastic. And there's a track record of success as well from what he has been as a player. You know, but he's also got to prove that here too. He hasn't done that yet for us. So there's a little bit of that as well. Like, we're waiting for him to show us, you know, the player that he's been. He hasn't reached that level of play for us, and so we're waiting for that opportunity to occur, and I think he'll be ready for it when it comes. But you know, his track record of success and what he's been as a player is pretty well documented. We just hope we need to get that version of him out here for us.
Career coach, what more do you challenge Jeff to be better at?
One more time.
Just at this point in his career, he's been doing it at a high level for so long. What more do you challenge Jeff to be better at?
You know, I think you can always improve. You know, I think you can always find an area of your game. And to me, the best players that are like Jeff, those guys that are, you know, high-level players, are always looking for somewhere to improve their game. You know, I think I'd love to see more sack numbers from Jeff. You know, that would be a goal for him, to be able to actually get the quarterback on the ground. Now, he affects the quarterback a lot, but the actual getting of the quarterback on the ground is something that I think he can do a better job of. And I know he's hell-bent on making that happen for us. But there's always something you can get better at. He's always working at something, and I think he's grown as a person. He continues to grow as a player. You know, you'd like to feel like he's sort of hitting his prime at this point, you know, with the experience that he has and the amount he's played, to get the best version of Jeff this year.
With Tajay Spears last year, difficult year, and he talked about that with us, where maybe his confidence was shaken a bit. Have you had conversation with him coming into this season, and what would you like to see out of him in terms of growth?
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, because one of the things about Tajay is I heard a lot about Tajay when I got here, about the type of person and the player that he was. And we've had conversations, but he did have a challenging year, both personally and professionally. And there was some things that we've had to sit and visit about on different occasions. And I give a lot of credit to him, because he's had an unbelievable offseason in terms of his energy, his effort, his clarity in what he wants to get done. So I've been really pleased with where Tajay's at. He's a great example, and it's not something that maybe is easy for you guys to see, but his personal growth, I think, has been outstanding. And I'm really excited to see what he can bring to us this year, because he's been in a great place and he's had a really nice offseason.
Good. Thank you.
There you go. That is Brian Callahan, Titans head coach. Some interesting things to take from that. We will react to that coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
As you move into minicamp, how do the reps at quarterback change, and how have the guys handled the opportunities that they've got?
Yeah, I've been pleased with how they've handled the whole operation. And again, I this isn't lip service at all. Like, Will's done a really nice job over the course of the offseason. He's handled it very professionally. He's competed. Cam's done the same, you know, and then Brandon and Tim have done the same things as well. They've all had opportunities. They made the most of those opportunities. I think all of them have. It's been a good spring, I think, for the quarterbacks in general. That part I feel good about. I'm confident with where they're at. You know, Cam's still taking probably more of the reps, because he's got more development to go. He's got more things he's got to get exposed to as a young player. But they're all getting opportunities, and I think the takeaway is that they've all made the most of those chances they've had, and it's been a good process this spring.
Titans head coach Brian Callahan just a few minutes ago on the reps with quarterback Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can also do like my mother is doing right now and listen on the Game Nashville app. She's with my Aunt Joyce down in Laurel, Mississippi. Whoa. They're listening to us on the Game Nashville app. So
that's where my daughter works.
Oh, really?
In Laurel, Mississippi.
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
They're hanging out. Well, go see Hannah Dubin.
Hello. It's not Hannah Dubin.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well, okay. Sorry.
That's all right, though.
She'll always be your little
girl. Right. Hello,
well,
Carol.
I don't know. Your granddaughter might have taken that spot.
That's true.
Now, wait a minute.
But hello to my mother and my aunt listening down in Mississippi.
So cool.
That's nice. So that answer by Brian Callahan got both of our attention, because he said, you know, Cam's going to get more of the reps right, or he's getting more of the reps right now because he has more to develop. Brian, I like how you answered the question, but come on, man. We know why he's getting more of the reps.
Exactly. And so now it's kind of like, now the story's going to be run with, well, you know, he needs more development. More of this and that.
I don't think that's completely off base. I mean, he does. Like, I think the more reps he gets, the better. But we all know that he's getting more reps because he's the starting quarterback.
Correct. And that's the bottom line. And right. I get the lip service, but we're not stupid.
Right.
We know Cam Ward's going to be the guy, and you're talking – and there was a moment where I thought Cam Ward – I mean, or Callahan's going to be like, really go, like, how great – and he pulled himself back a little bit. Like, ah, well,
I actually thought that was a pretty good press conference by him.
Yeah. I mean, honest. He answered everything, and be honest. Yeah. And so – but Cam Ward, I mean, this is Cam Ward's team. We understand this. Give him all the work.
Here's the deal. It's a tough business. It's a truth business, and the truth hurts. We need to get over this worrying about Will Levis's feelings. Guess what? Will Levis got his opportunity. He sucked as the starting quarterback of the Titans.
He did.
He made bad decisions. He's got a great arm. He's got talent. It didn't work between the ears. He made bad decisions,
sure, and
it cost him his job.
They would trade him in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And I still think it happens.
If he had played decent, and don't give me the offensive line and all that crap and stuff. We all know that was true. That wasn't the reason that it didn't work with him. It didn't work because, you know, he sees a blitz coming at him and he just tosses it up trying to throw it to the sideline and it's intercepted for
terrible,
a touchdown.
Terrible decisions, and it didn't change.
That's why he's not the quarterback. So I like the guy. But I don't feel sorry for him because that's the deal. If he had not done those things, even if they had ended up with the same record last year, but the quarterback play was better, he had made better decisions, he's probably still the starting quarterback, and they would have taken the Giants' offer and taken all those draft picks.
Yeah.
But they knew, sitting in the room with Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan and whoever else, they all knew, hey, he's not the guy. Let's go get this guy because maybe he is.
And there was no confidence in the teammates around him, right, no matter what they said. It was done. It's all. We moved on. We had his opportunity. Tom Brady talks great about this. Are you ready when the opportunity comes?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Right.
Will Levis was not ready. Will Levis was not good.
Nope.
It's okay. We've moved on. Now you got Cam Ward. By all accounts, Cam Ward is the real deal. Now, throw everything at him. Let him run your number ones. You like Brandon Allen's a good backup? Fine. But go for it. Don't insult our intelligence. Let Cam be the guy. He's got a lot of work to go and to be good, but let him have all. You get good by repetition. You get good by repetition. And by all accounts, he's doing everything that you need to do. Let him be the guy. Go for it.
So something that I have kind of thought about with Cam Ward, you know, okay, let's say he's not elite. He's not the top tier, at least right now. He's not like the greatest person to ever play quarterback. But he does everything the right way. Like, he is – the way he's conducting himself, the way he's preparing. You know, I know it's not that big of a deal, but to me, like, it shows something. Like, that he's at the facility at 5 a.m. Like, he is doing all of the right things, saying all the right things, being a good teammate, studying. You know, he's listening to reps or coaching, getting those mental reps like TD brought up. I mean, isn't it safe to say that if you do that, that it will lead to good things? It will lead to good quarterback play?
I think what's telling to me, and all that is accurate, the video of him and Shedeur Sanders at that workout where Shedeur was trying to get him to dance.
Uh-huh.
Let's do some dance.
He's like, hey, I'm here to play football.
I'm here to play football, not dance. I was like, yeah. Because how many guys would have given into that?
Sure. Like, hey, we're just having fun and all that stuff. And I also liked when he looked over at the Titans sideline when he was at his pro day or whatever it was and said, hey, I'm here to solidify it for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yes.
Yep.
Yes, my man. Okay.
But I take your question and let's flip it on the other side. What if he is elite? What if he is the guy they all want it to be?
I hope he is.
This team goes to the playoffs.
Right.
I'm telling you.
If he's that dude.
This team goes to the playoffs in 2025.
Like, what if we're sitting here on June 10th, 2026, and we're doing this show and we're talking about, all right, so Cam just came off Rookie of the Year. He was, you know, in the conversation for MVP, but not really. But he was Rookie of the Year, and they went 11-6 and made the playoffs.
Every single Titans
now,
fan
right now,
signs up for that.
Right now, everybody that just heard that is going, Chase, you're drunk. You're an idiot. Like, how could you say that? Like, there's no way that's going to happen.
Can happen.
But what if?
Yeah.
What if it does?
Yeah.
Then where does it – all right, because this is what happens. Brian Callahan is back as the head coach. No question.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have free agents that are going to look at this thing going, okay.
Something happening.
Something's cooking there. Yeah. All right. Now, you're not going to have the draft spot, you know, to go – I mean, you're still going to obviously have a draft pick, but it's going to be further in the first round. But, I mean, a lot of good things start happening. I still think even if that were to happen, you're going to have to go find him his go-to receiver. You're going to go have to address that. There's still going to be positions that you have to address.
What if they have one? What if the DK guy from Florida? What if the tight ends are? I mean, there's
yeah.
This is a crucial year for this football team because you've got the number one pick and build around. But you're right. I mean, success begats success. On and on and on and on and on. So if he is that guy.
Nate Bargatze, what?
If he is that guy. It's in the Bible, man. If he is that guy and turns around and gets to the playoffs, yeah, then people want to hop on board. Then everything is good. Yeah,
right.
Then here's the best part if you're Amy Adams. You're rolling into that new stadium on a high.
Yep.
And you're feeling good. Look, we remember what happened. And I was at that press conference in April of 99 when Frank and Blaine and Eddie and Hendrick walked out in those new uniforms. There was something there. It's like, yep. Okay.
There was a magic.
Yep. And it.
Because it was like, this is our house. And you know
yes.
what? To that point, with this group that's coming in, playing in Nissan Stadium, knowing that the new place is coming, they're like, you know what? That's our house.
Mm-hmm.
Our house is being built.
And pop a cam out there and then
yeah.
whoever
else. That's a really good point.
Find three other guys that are going to be this franchise for a while. And it's an iconic moment, man. And so you do. So this is why this is the most crucial year since this football team's been in town.
Coming up next, there was something else that Brian Callahan said, and I'm glad he said it because he needed to say it. Now, will the player actually do it? We'll discuss that coming up next. It is Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday. We'll also have your chance to win Braves tickets coming up in just a little bit. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And our fine show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
What more do you challenge Jeff to be better at?
One more time.
Just at this point in his career, he's been doing it at a high level for yeah. so long. What more do you challenge Jeff to be better at?
You know, I think you can always improve. You know, I think you can always find an area of your game. And to me, the best players that are like Jeff, those guys that are you know, high-level players, are always looking for somewhere to improve their game. You know, I think I'd love to see more sack numbers from Jeff. You know, that would be a goal for him to be able to actually get the quarterback on the ground. Now, he affects the quarterback a lot, but the actual getting of the quarterback on the ground is something that I think he can do a better job of. And I know he's hell-bent on making that happen for us. But there's always something you can get better at. He's always working at something, and I think he's grown as a person. He continues to grow as a player. You know, you'd like to feel like he's sort of hitting his prime at this point, you know, with the experience that he has and the amount he's played to get the best version of Jeff this year.
That's Brian Callahan talking about Jeffrey Simmons wants to see more sack numbers. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Tuesday. I heard that, and in my head I said, yes, thank you, because guess what? It's the truth. Now, I am one of those that I have fallen into that trap of,
okay.
And look, I'm not, I don't think it's wrong that he does open the door for other guys to get to the quarterback. You're double teaming him. You know, he's going to be that catalyst. But I do agree, five sacks is not good enough for a player of that caliber.
Again, I'm going to argue with this all the time. He's not drafted to sack the quarterback. That's a plus if he does.
Sure.
No interior defensive lineman is drafted to sack the quarterback. We have elite guys like Aaron Donald who did that, and now who set the tone, the bar really high. But your job in the middle is to create all that chaos and to free off your linebackers to make tackles and do that. But if you can get the push up front, that's great. But you're going to – if he doesn't have a single sack, but the guys around him have record sack numbers – Simmons is an All-Pro. He created that.
Right. Okay. Fair. But would you not agree? Okay. He had 5 sacks last year, 5.5 the year before. 2022, 7.5. 2021, 8.5. I mean, that I'm not saying double digit, but I feel like that's probably where his number needs to be. I agree with everything you just said.
Right.
But I do think that if you – and that's where you got to have a better pass rush on the outside.
Yeah.
That if you do that, then you can't double-team him on every play. And then when he is open, he's getting to the quarterback.
Those two guys, Sweat and Simmons, should be such a force that teams like, we're not running in the middle.
Yeah.
You force them to go outside, then you play right into their hands. Simmons is a dominant force when he wants to be. We've seen it. So maybe they can light a fire under his tush and get it done this year. But, yeah, the bonus with him is if he can get that pressure on the quarterback, and you are double-teaming him, he still can do it. He's a valuable player, when everything comes together. So, yeah, I mean, be on his ass. That's fine.
You know it's crazy? Last year he only had 5 sacks. But he had a record year, 76 combo tackles, total tackles.
Love it.
41 solo tackles, which was one shy of his career high in 2021 at 42. 35 assists, 11 tackles for loss, which is one shy of 2021.
I love it. We've talked about this.
That's underlying numbers.
Yes.
I mean, that's numbers you don't always look at.
There was a video on Twitter about Aaron Donald's top 10 plays as a lineman for the Rams. Not one of those did he get a tackle or a sack.
Yeah.
He was triple teamed on like 6 of those 10 videos and created that chaos where people like, oh my goodness, and freed everything up. If Simmons and Sweat can do that, this defense has a chance. But they got to do it every single game, every series, every play. They can't take plays off.
100%. But I like that the head coach is saying, you know, when you asked, that was Chris Harris that asked the question of, what do you want to see more from Jeffrey Simmons? Because yeah, everybody sits here and praises Jeffrey Simmons, and rightfully so, but what do you want to see more from him? He had a definitive answer, and I like that definitive answer.
Good.
I got no problem with him saying that.
Same.
So we'll continue to react to Brian Callahan and what he said in his press conference today. The Titans are on the field for mandatory minicamp and a DVD, and, of course, Stillman and Company will break all that down. But coming up next, what day is it? And celebrity birthdays, we will do that. But right now, do you have a caller number you want to say? Braves tickets?
8.
Caller number 8. Who's a good number? No, who was 8? Lopez was 7, right? Javi? I think he was.
Oh, we're doing Braves people.
Or no, 8. Oh, he was 8. Javi Lopez.
Okay,
yeah. Caller number 8, 615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Atlanta Braves take on the Colorado Rockies at Truist Park this Sunday, which is Father's Day. So if you want to take Dad down to Atlanta for a ball game, 615-737-1025. Caller number 8, Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Staley Chicago Italian Dining, one of Nashville's best-kept secrets and winners of numerous Best Of awards. Enjoy authentic Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Get half off a $20 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Chasing Big Joe. Here on this Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Use their electrical division for installations, inspections, upgrades, and more. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have Alcoholics Anonymous Founders Day today. So there's that.
It's a good organization.
Ballpoint Pen Day is today. You know, a little ballpoint. There you go, Joe.
I still pens.
Oh,
yes, I still pens yes, from do. The bank.
That's one of my pens.
You're that guy.
I still pens.
Call Your Doctor Day is today. National Black Cow Day. Looks like a drink. Delicious. Let's see. National Egg Roll Day is today. You guys like egg rolls?
Yeah.
Okay. At least you said eye roll. Egg roll.
Egg rolls. Excuse me.
I love egg rolls.
Eat about 60 of them, maybe. National Frosted Cookie Day. Delicious nope. cookies. National Herbs.
Wait, hang on. You don't like frosted cookies?
Not when my A1C is as high as Willie Nelson. I can't enjoy frosted cookies anymore. I have to shut them. Push them away.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Well, there you go.
Next on the list is National Urban Spice Day. So if you like spices, go
ahead. Urban Spice?
Herbs and spice. Herb. Yeah.
Oh, I thought like Urban Meyer had spices.
National Iced Tea Day is today.
Love him in Law and Order.
Yeah, he does a great job.
And last but not least, World Pet Memorial Day is today.
Ah.
Had in on a downer, didn't you?
Yeah.
Will you have a memorial for Skillet?
It's called a barbecue.
Oh, my God. And he listens to this show, too.
My mom and aunt are going to ask, like, what's Skillet? Skillet is the pig that Dr. Crane is raising that he's going to slaughter and turn into bacon, ham, and
a Boston pork butt.
Boston pork butt. Yeah. And he's going to bring some of that in for us.
Yes. And we're saving the jaw, right?
Yes, we are. And the tail.
And the tail. I'll pass on the tail.
Heard it's delicious.
I'll pass.
Okay.
That tail's too close to something else back there that's I'll pass on. All right, time for
Not looking for tail anymore.
Gotta get that tailpipe fixed.
Oh, my Lord. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within 2 years. All right, our first birthday is the actress Gina Gershon. Gina Gershon.
What was she in?
Oh, God. What was she in? She's sexy, though. Yeah, she's beautiful.
I'm going to say 48.
53.
63. Mm. Meredith from The Office, actress Kate Flannery. How old is Meredith?
57.
60.
61.
Nice.
Good job, Dr. Crane. Oh, we were just talking about her last night. She's dating, allegedly, Billy Ray Cyrus, actress Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, wow.
Talk about beautiful. Good loud.
59. 57.
60. Tied at one. How do you think that conversation goes between her and Billy Ray? He's like, man, I had to bring you to the farm over in Kentucky and do some making bread. You know what I'm saying? I just wonder how that conversation.
Is that Elvis?
A little bit. A little bit. Figure skater announcer Tara Lipinski.
50. Was she the one that broke her ankle? No.
She's the one that does with the Johnny Weiss. Weir. Yeah.
Yeah. 40.
51.
43. Kind of close there, guys, but not good enough. Kate Upton. Speaking of good loud, Kate Upton. She's married to Verlander.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You are looking live. 44.
41.
33. Both of you guys.
Kate Upton?
No way.
Yeah, Kate Upton. Model and actress Kate Upton.
There's no way she's 33.
Look it up real quick. My list is never wrong.
Because look, if she's 33, then I have a
chance. Holy crap. She is 33.
How dare you?
I have a chance.
How dare you question my list?
Justin Verlander has a lot more money than you do. But
it's all right.
Dr. Crane's got Skillet.
I know my culinary skills, all right?
How dare you apologize on the air?
I'm sorry, Joe Dubin or Kate Upton? Which one?
Both.
Mr. Big, Joe. Mr. Big, what a band.
All right, here we go down. Singer Maxi Priest.
I don't know who that is.
Thinking that he's like, I just want to be loved by you. Really popular in the 90s.
50.
63.
64. Next up, 2-1. Actress Jeannie Triplehorn. She was in the movie The Firm. I think she's being married to Ben Stiller.
51.
59.
62. Rapper The Doc. How does rapper The Doc?
Like the DOC?
The DOC. God, do you know this?
Yeah, because he was with Dr. Dre and all them. Probably 56. Not.
61.
57. We're tied at 2. You guys have the best games. Actor DJ Qualls, who's in that movie Hustle and Flow Road Trip. He's from Nashville, allegedly. DJ Qualls.
55.
49.
47. Dr. Crane's up 3-2. How about this? Hey, folks, I'm country singer Lee Brice. Remember those commercials?
Yeah.
Lee Brice, how old is he?
47.
45.
46, that's a push. Damn. Actress Lily Sobieski, she was in the movie Deep Impact. She was the girlfriend that he took away on the motorcycle. She's in a bunch of other movies as well.
47.
52.
43. All right, we're down to our last two birthdays. It's 3-2, Dr. Crane. Hockey coach player Brent Sutter, or Suter, however you call it.
Sutter.
Sutter.
64.
67.
63. It's 3-3. We got one birthday left. How old is Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts? Dan Fouts' birthday. This is for the win.
Dan Fouts. 68.
64.
At the buzzer. Neither one of you. He's 74 years old.
Hey, our number.
That's right. Wow. It came full circle.
Wow, it sure did.
Oh, man.
It sure did. That is going to – oh, man.
Oh, man.
That is going to do it for
What is
it for us today?
Again, thanks for all the interaction. We love you guys. We close every show about this. So our guys out there, we love you. If you're going through something, struggling on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. You know, this week, the whole thing I'm talking about on my messages of being positive. Being positive in life. Thankfully, good things are happening to you. If you're going through something, switch the thoughts. Have good thoughts, positive thoughts, that great things are going to happen to you, and they will. And know that we love you and we need you here. Our world is a much better place because you are here. Not only do we love you, but more importantly, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.